ورحمة الله وبركاته. We are still in Surah Al-A'raf. We need another maybe 5 to 7 sessions, and we conclude that chapter, or that chapter, and we go to another chapter inshallah, probably most likely after Muharram and Safar inshallah. Today, verse 188, Surah Al-A'raf, verse 188. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى أشرفهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين والصفوة الخيرة من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا. قل لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا إلا ما شاء الله ولو كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء أنا إلا نذير وبشير لقوم يؤمنون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The theme of this verse 188 and also 194. We will come across that one, 194, in a few weeks, inshallah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ. This is 194, the same chapter. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Verily those whom you call upon, تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, meaning worship. Call upon here in this context, it's worshipping. Those that you worship beside God, مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. They are just creatures, servants, slaves like you. فَدْعُوهُمْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. These two verses, 188, where it says, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا. Say to your community, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Say those to those who are around you. And this is in Mecca. This verse was revealed in the city of Mecca. Say to them that I have no power over any good or harm for myself. لا أملك لنفسي نفعا ولا ضرا إلا ما شاء الله. Except as Allah wills. These are two critical verses in the Quran. And if we understand these two verses in the right context, 99% of the sectarianism and division between Shia and Sunnis are going to be resolved. 99%. Or between Shias and Wahhabism, actually. Not Sunnism, Wahhabism. Why? Because in the Salafi tradition and the Wahhabi tradition, when you go to Medina, inshallah, and you get involved in a dialogue with those clergies there, they cite these verses in proving that you cannot ask the Prophet. You cannot speak to the Prophet. You cannot say, Ya Rasulallah. You have to ask only God. And tawassul meaning calling upon a prophet or an imam for help, is a source of heresy, main source of heresy, main source of shirk and heresy, and a blasphemy too. So you cannot say, Ya Rasulullah, help me. Ya Rasulullah, please, I need your shafa'ah. You cannot say this. This is haram. This is rejected, and this is a source of heresy in Islam. And then they cite these two verses. They say to you, see, the Prophet himself, he cannot, neither can help himself nor hurt himself. Can he help you? Someone who cannot help himself, can he help you? And when you listen to it, yes, it makes sense. Really, it makes sense what they say. But this is not the case. This is not the case. And I would tell you how this is not the case. From the Quran itself. If we believe that a prophet, any prophet, whether a prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Jesus, or Moses, or Abraham, or any prophet, can help you, listen to this, can help you independently from God. Independently from God. He has a special power, authority, that independently from God can help you and respond to you, then indeed this is an act of shirk and heresy and polytheism and a blasphemy. If you believe that they have a power, القدرة المستقلة, علماء, they put it this way, قدرة مستقلة عن الله. They have a power which is independent from God. They rival God. They rival God. God has a power, and they have the power of their own. Of their own. Of their own. They create the power themselves. Then definitely this sort of belief is a heresy, shirk. But if you believe, which most of the Muslims, they follow this second belief. If you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed a privilege upon them, the power belongs to God, the authority belongs to God, the power of healing, power of saving, power of guiding, belongs to God, however God bestows on those people, special people, the ability. God gives them part of His own power with His own permission, with His own leave and permission. Then this is the second type, is Aynu Tawheed, is an absolute act, do you follow me? An absolute act of what? Tell me. Monotheism and Tawheed. Therefore the Quran, my friends, one point that I wish one day Wahhabism will pay attention to it. Wahhabism, they print millions, hundreds of millions of copies of the Holy Quran. Hundreds of millions of copies. But they do not pay attention to some of the most fundamentals in this book. They don't pay attention to them. They memorize the Quran by heart. They memorize it. They read it in their prayers, long chapters. But they don't pay attention to fundamental principles of the Quran. They do not distinguish between two types of expressions in the Quran. One of them is Tawheed, the second is Shirk. Tawheed, bi-idhnillah. Some prophets, they can perform supernatural phenomena and acts, supernatural. But bi-idhnillah, like what? Can you help me? Give me an example, which is mentioned in the Quran. Huh? Give me an example. Moses. Allah says to Moses, carry the cane, this little cane that you have, strike the sea. What happens when he strikes the sea? Huh? فَانْفَلَقَ فَكَانَ كُلُّ فِرْقٍ كَالطَّوْدِ الْعَظِيمِ. He splits the sea into two sections. Allah says each section like a huge mountain. Stands, the water stands. Musa, human being. with a simple cane, which is made of wood. It's not made of gold, neither silver. Simple cane in the street, you can find it. Maybe he cut a tree, a branch of tree, and at that time there was no green movement, you know, so he could cut a tree and then make it. Another, give me another example in the Quran, throughout the Quran, of another prophet. Isa, what did he do? وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصِ. Those who are blind, deaf, and وَأُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. But how do I do that? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. He resurrects. Isa was a resurrector. Resurrector. He resurrects the dead. He stands on the grave. He says to the dead, قُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. The guy, he's dead for a long time. A long time. He stands. All of a sudden, this is in the Quran. This is not a movie, huh? This is not fiction. This is in the Quran. Isa alayhi salam. But he says, bi-idhnillah, with the leave and the permission of God. Do we say this is shirk? Do we say that the Prophet has no power and this is shirk? No. But the power is not his own power. The power is from whom? From Allah, with his leave, with his green signal, green light, with his permission, with his power, with his authority. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many other examples. Many other examples throughout the Holy Quran. So tawassul, when you ask the Prophet, keep in mind, my friends, my brothers and sisters, and when you have a discussion with the other side, tell them this. Tell them when we say, Ya Rasulallah, we know that there is a power above the Prophet. The Prophet is not the supreme power. There is a supreme power above him. Who's that power? Tell me. The power of God. So when I am asking the Prophet, as if I am asking, huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm asking Allah. Through the Prophet. Through. Through is important here. Through the Prophet. For the sake of the Prophet. And this is exactly what the Quran tells me in chapter 4. Chapter 4. Quran says, وَمَنْ يَخْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No one forgives sins except God. But then in the same book he says, go to the Prophet and ask him to seek forgiveness for you from Allah, from God. You can say, God, I can ask you, why should I go to the Prophet? Why do you ask me to go to the Prophet? You are there, aren't you there? Aren't you always, your eyes are open, your ears are open? As-Sami' al-Alim, la ta'khudhu sinatun wa la nawm. You don't sleep, you don't rest, you always listen. So why do you want me to go to the Prophet? Because in the Wahhabi tradition they say, why do you say Ya Rasulullah? Say Ya Allah. There is nothing wrong with say Ya Allah. We say Ya Allah. But Allah says, I need you sometimes to come through this channel. Do you want to get to me? This is the procedure. I have a procedure. Then why do you need a procedure, God? He says, because if I don't tell you to come through the Prophet, you're going to neglect the Prophet, and the Prophet is going to be rendered what? Useless in your life. So I want you to pay attention to him. That he's still in your life. He's not useless. He's not history. The Prophet is not dead and history, and he's useless, and we have nothing to do with him. Therefore I want you to say, Ya Rasulullah, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ in Surah An-Nisa, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ those, the wrongdoers in your community, those who did wrong, ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوك, they come to you. جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ. Look at this. This is a very, 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 very sensitive sentence in the Quran. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ. The Prophet, he did istighfar on their behalf. He did not say them, okay, go, this is Lord, don't come to me. No, no, he was involved in the process. He said, oh God, please forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ. Then, in this case, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. In this case, when the Prophet prays for them and seeks forgiveness for them, لَوَجَدُوا, they will. لَوَجَدُوا لَمْ, they will. They will find God oft forgiving, oft merciful. لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. And we have examples in the Quran, my friends. Let me give you some examples. The Quran says, when you finish your tawaf around the Kaaba, I need you to stand in a specific point, not any point. You have to go stand there and do your prayers when you finish your tawaf. Where is that point? وَاتَّخِذُوا مِنْ مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Stand behind Maqam Ibrahim. Tell me, what is, those of you who have been to Hajj, and most of you have been to Hajj, what is Maqam Ibrahim? What does it have? Ibrahim is standing there himself. What is it there? Have you seen inside? Have you seen inside? What is there? A piece of rock? What do you find on the rock? What do you see? Huh? The footprint of Ibrahim. That's it. They say this is the footprint of Ibrahim. Huge one. Have you seen? That's all. Allah says, here I want you to stand and pray. This is a sacred place. Footprint of Ibrahim is sacred. And I want you. I created you. I give you orders. Stand there and pray for me. Now let me tell you, billahi alaykum, is Maqam Ibrahim, where there is a rock and his footprint, is more sacred, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which one is more sacred? The tomb of the Prophet that contains the body of Rasulullah, Khatamul Anbiya'i Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which one is more important? Definitely Rasulullah. More than that, why do we go to Mecca? What do we do in Mecca? What is the most important act in Mecca? Tawaf. Tawaf around what? What is the Kaaba? Kaaba is made of what? Rocks and bricks. Do we worship the rocks and the bricks? Now when we face the Kaaba in this direction, when you stand before the Kaaba, do you worship the rocks or the bricks, or you worship something else? You worship Allah. Otherwise these rocks and the bricks are found in the mountains. But your direction is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Kaaba is a symbolic, is a metaphor. You respect the Kaaba not because you are respecting the stones or the bricks. They are materials. You respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you face the Kaaba. Some Americans, they think we worship the Kaaba. We don't worship the Kaaba. We do not worship the Kaaba. Kaaba is a symbolic of unity, the house of Allah, symbolic house of God, not real house. He does not live there. God lives in this room, in Orange County, as much as He lives in the Kaaba. His presence in His house, in the Kaaba, is no more than His presence in this room, in Orange County. He's everywhere. أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Tell me, which place is vacuum from God? Someone said to Imam al-Sadiq, one day he came to him and he said, I love to commit a sin, I can't control myself. Imam al-Sadiq said to him, it's okay, but promise me, if you can do something, then go and commit a sin. He said, what is it? He said, go somewhere that Allah does not see you. Once you find that place, enjoy the sin. He said, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, but Allah is everywhere. He said to him, then don't commit a sin because He sees you. You can't run away from Him. Allah is everywhere. Then why do we choose the Kaaba? Why people spend thousands of dollars to travel to look at the Kaaba? النَّظَرُ إِلَى الْكَعْبَةِ عِبَادَةِ. It's an act of service and worship when you look at the Kaaba. Because this is a symbolic. God says, I want you to come to this empty house here, and worship me here. Submit to me, listen to me. Do not argue with me. You know what gave value to the Kaaba? Is the birth of Imam Ali alayhi salam inside the Kaaba. Gave more value and more significance to the house of Allah. Do you know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-mu'minu a'azz 'ala Allah min al-Ka'ba. Single individual who is believer, he's dearer and more valuable in the eyes of God than this house, the Ka'ba. Because mu'min is a mu'min, has a heart. Ka'ba does not have a heart. Ka'ba made of stones, bricks, materials. But the mu'min has a heart, a loving heart, a believing heart. So he's more important than the Ka'ba. He's more important. Al-mu'min, single one. So my friends, when we go to the Prophet, when we say Ya Rasulallah, when we say Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, when we say Ya Imam Hussein, Ya Imam Rida, we mean Ya Allah. There is no separation between them because they are the gate. Antumul adillahu ala Allah. You are the gate leading us to God. We are not separating between them and God. I'm not saying Ya Hussein is independent from God. Hussein can heal me, can give me, can forgive me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying Hussein, he does the shafa'a for me. Intercession with God. In shafa'a. That's all. And this is aynu tawheed wa aynu iman. This is the absolute act of faith and worship. This is not heresy. Because the Quran tells us two expressions in the Quran. One of them, min dunillah, without God, bypassing God. They worship idols bypassing God. They believe those idols, they have an independent power beside God. They rival God. This is shirk. But then there is another expression, bi'idhnillah, with God's permission. Then that act becomes halal. Becomes halal, that act. It's not heresy when it is with the permission of God. Now, shafa'a, they keep telling you that shafa'a, Shi'as believe in the shafa'a. Shafa'a has no place in the Quran. And then they cite one verse, but they forget the second. They cite part of the verse, the first part, but they don't recite the second part. In Surah Ayatul Kursi, you all memorize Ayatul Kursi. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ Who has the power to intercede with God? Immediately he says, إِلَّا with one exception. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ With his leave. With God's leave, you have the power. You have the authority. You can do shafa'a with God's leave. Again in the Quran, another powerful verse in the Quran. قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا Shafa'a is the right that belongs solely to God and only God. But, after that he says but. What does he say? وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ This is Surah An-Najm, verse 26. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ How many angels فِي السَّمَوَاتِ In the heaven. لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا Their intercession does not suffice, does not work. لا تغني, does not work. إلا but, إلا من بعد أن يأذن الله لمن يشاء ويرضى. Powerful. Except when Allah gives permission for whomever He likes and He accepts. يشاء ويرضى. Do you follow me or not? Does these things make sense or doesn't? I want you to memorize them. You memorize them by heart. Surah An-Najm, 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 إِذَا هَوَى مَا ظَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى Until he reaches this. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ How often there are angels in the heaven, their shafa'a does not work, إِلَّا except مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَشَاء اللَّهُ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ When God gives permission, He gives the permission. لِمَنْ يَشَاء To whom He gives permission? To anyone? No. لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى For those that He chooses, يَشَاء, He chooses, وَيَرْضَى And He accepts. This is about shafa'a. So there is the power of shafa'a. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the master and the leader of shafa'a on the Day of Judgment. All the Anbiya, they have the power of intercession, but the Prophet has the double and the triple power. He has the authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to to intercede on behalf. جُعِلَتْ شَفَاعَتِي لِأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. I reserved my shafa'a, my intercession with God, for those who committed cardinal sins. لِأَهْلِ الْكَبَائِرِ. But they are loyal to me and my family. They were good. But sometimes the shaitan, you know, he deceives them. So I reserved my shafa'a on that day for them. This is one regarding shafa'a. Regarding ghaib. See, regarding ghaib. Because here Quraysh came to the Prophet. They said to him, Muhammad, if you are a good friend of God, regarding 188, the occasion, they call it Asbabun Nuzul, the occasion of descent. They came to the Prophet. They said, Muhammad, if you are a nice guy and the Lord is your friend, please ask your Lord to tell us when is the time of economic prosperity and one is the time of economic downturn. One is the time of the drought, when we have no rain, drought. Let's know from now, ahead of time, 10 years. We know, for instance, year this and this and this is a drought, but these years we have rain. One is the time that the market is strong, economy is healthy, and one, the market becomes down and bad. Ask your Lord. The Prophet said to them, this is not religion. If you want to accept religion because of this reason, this is not religion. This is why, this is how he answered them. He said, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا. Me, independently from God, I have no power neither to harm nor to hurt myself. Without God, I cannot bring benefit to myself without him, without his power, without his authority. Illa ma sha Allah. Except when God gives me the permission, the power. I get my permission from him, the power from him. Oh Quraysh, do not think that I'm a magical person. I can know and do and execute anything that I like. No, it's not like that. I work for God. Whatever God says, Muhammad, you can do this, I can do it. If he says to me, Muhammad, you cannot do that, I can't. I cannot do anything. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Now they come and tell you that Muhammad does not know the ghaib. What do we think, we the followers of Ahlul Bayt? Muhammad knows the ghaib or he doesn't know the ghaib?
He knows some level.
Does he know or he doesn't? Answer me. Who thinks Muhammad knows the ghaib? And who knows Muhammad does not know the ghaib? Huh? Don't be afraid. Listen to the Quran. The answer is in the Quran. The best answer is when you bring it from here. There is no more argument. When you see the answer here, you can't have more argument beyond that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about ghaib. Again, Suratul Jinn. About shafa'a, where was the shafa'a? What surah? Ahsantum. An-Najm. What verse?
26.
This is Suratul Jinn 26. The same number. Huh? Remember the number, because I'm going to test you next week. The number is 26, but the shafa'a is mentioned in Suratul Najm. The ghaib is mentioned in Suratul Jinn. Inshallah, you see the jinn on the Day of Judgment. Suratul Jinn, Allah says about ilmul ghaib. He says ghaib only belongs to God, but it has another but. Alimul ghaib, he is the only who knows the unseen, the ghaib, Allah. Alimul ghaib, فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولِ. Do you follow the Quran? You need to strengthen your knowledge about Quran. Alimul ghaib, he is the only knower of the unseen. However, he does not allow anyone to look at this unseen except when he chooses. Except when he chooses. And sometimes the Prophet chooses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes he chooses Amir al-Mu'mineen, and sometimes he chooses Imam Hussein, and sometimes Imam al-Sadiq. and sometimes Imam al-Mahdi, and sometimes he chooses someone who's wali, wali. Neither a prophet nor an imam. Wali. Someone who dedicated his feelings and his blood and his cells and his life and his death and his energy only to God. God gives him this privilege. What's wrong with that? Wali, he's wali. Close friend of God. So remember this, Surah Al-Jin, Alimul Ghayb, فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا مَنْ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ. Another verse in Surah Al-Naml, 65. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. God would not allow you to know the unseen. All people, all Muslims, all believers, God would not allow you to know the unseen except وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ ولكن الله. On the other hand, ولكن, here the exception, the exception. ولكن الله يجتبي من رسله من يشاء. يجتبي, he chooses, he selects. He says, I want this one to know the unseen, this one to know the unseen, this one to know the unseen. So he gives this privilege, something that are highly classified. Allah shares it with some of his servants and messengers. He says, I want you to know. I want you to know because here I need you to go and tell the people so they believe that you are the messenger of God. Because if someone does not have any privilege, how do you prove that you are the messenger of God? How do you convince me? You have to tell me something extraordinary. Something extraordinary. So I know that you are the messenger of God. You are connected with Him through wahi and revelation. So sometimes for certain interests, national interests of Islam, Allah allows the Prophet or the Imam to know the ghaib. Not the Imam by himself, whatever he wants. No. I'm very careful here. Whenever Allah wants, not whenever the Prophet wants. Whenever Allah himself, he wants, so he gives permission to the Prophet to know the ghaib. Therefore, here the Prophet is telling them, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. If I always can know the ghaib by myself without connection to God, لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. I will multiply my goodness. Meaning, I will purchase something today. I know next month, next year, this thing is going to be rare commodity. It's going to be expensive. I purchase it today. I save it in my house, in my warehouse. Then I can sell it with a higher price. But I don't know the way. I don't know the way. Unless when Allah gives me permission. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ. If I know the ghaib, I will be always safe, always protected and safe. وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ. Evil does not touch me, but because I don't know the ghaib. So I'm a human being just like you. I get sick, I die, I sometimes I trample and I, you know, fall down. So it happens. These things happens to me. وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ إِنْ أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. This was the reason of this verse. So again, in conclusion, the Prophet, let me say this in Arabic first. لَيْسَتْ لَدَيْهِ قُدْرَةٌ مُسْتَقِلَّةٌ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Do you follow me? Any prophet, whether Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any other prophet, they do not have an independent power of their own. They are not parallel to God. We don't have two entities. One is called God, and parallel to him is Prophet Muhammad. No, Prophet Muhammad is below God. So whatever he knows, whatever he does, is only and only and only through the permission and the power and the authority of God. Just like Jesus when he created. Did he create by himself? Some Christian friends, when we have discussion, they tell me, they read the Quran, they tell me it's in your book. Did Muhammad create? I say, no, he didn't. Did Jesus create? I say, yes. They say, is it in your book? I say, yes. They say, this is the proof. Jesus is the Lord, and Muhammad is not the Lord. I tell them, but you have to wear glasses, my friend. When you read, read the whole line. Don't read half of it. Jesus, when he created, he said, bi-idhnillah. And I tell you about your secrets, what you save, the food you save in your warehouse, in your homes, bi-idhnillah. He says this to the Israelites around him. He said, I can tell you, you guy, you are sitting here, I can tell you what you have saved for food in your warehouse. I have not been inside your house. I don't have surveillance cameras. But I can tell you now. Bi-idhnillah. With the leave of God. So Jesus did not act as a God. Jesus, when he acted, he was the slave and the servant and the creator and the creature and the messenger of God. Do you follow me on this? With the permission of God. Bi-idhnillah. Always be. Jesus kept saying, bi-idhnillah, bi-idhnillah, bi-idhnillah. So people, I'm not divine. I'm not the Son of God. I'm not the Lord. Bi-idhnillah. Without His permission, I can do nothing. I can't even raise my head from bed in the morning if God does not give me permission. This is the difference. Therefore, tawassul, my friends, when we go and do tawassul, we do it keeping this in your mind. Always remember that when you're asking the Prophet, when you ask him, you are asking Allah. Inna al-ladina. See the Quran, the wording. Inna al-ladina yubayyoonaka. Inna ma yubayyoonal. Allah. Yadu Allahi fawqa aydih. Those people who pay allegiance to you, they do bay'ah. They are not shaking hand with you, Muhammad. They are shaking hand with God, because your hand is the hand of God. You represent God. إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله. So we are not asking Muhammad as an individual himself. We know Muhammad himself, he cannot do anything. But Muhammad as the messenger of God, as the way to God, as having permission and delegation from God, is everything. So when you ask him, you are asking God. And thus God in the Quran, he says, أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول. Allah. When you listen to the Prophet, you are listening to God. In another verse, he says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. If you disobey the Prophet, you are disobeying God. Because he represents us. Do not separate him from God. So when you ask him, you are asking God. This is, in a brief, the concept of tawassul. But tomorrow Friday, inshallah, I am going to touch upon another very sensitive subject in the Shia tradition, and a subject that has been, for a long time, it has been the subject of a fierce debate between the Shias and the Sunnis. And the subject is the concept of tafwid. Some believe that God has given tafwid, delegated all his powers and authorities to this person, and he sat there relaxing. He said, I need to resign. I give my power, my authority to Prophet Muhammad, to Imam Ali, to Musa, to Isa, to this, and I'm just sitting there, I want to relax because I'm tired, I've been working for a long time. Tafwid, they call it tafwid. Tafwid, proxy. When someone, you get proxy, independently from him, and he doesn't know what you are doing. See, in this example of tawassul, God knows what the Prophet is doing. He gave him permission. He's following him. He's supervising him. In the second example, tafwir, there is no connection between God and those. This is shirk. And I'm going to discuss it in 25 minutes tomorrow in the first khutbah. إن شاء الله تعالى اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات. إن شاء الله, the Hajj lesson is going to be on Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. and this is the second and the last lesson on Hajj, إن شاء الله تعالى. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.